You're listening to the Holistic Spaces podcast brought to you by Mindful Design Feng Shui School. Episode 277, our favorite feng shui colors. Welcome to episode 277 of the Holistic Spaces podcast, where we hope to inspire, educate, and empower you to create your own holistic spaces that nurture and resonate with you. Angie Cho and Laura Morris are the founders of the Mindful Design Feng Shui School and authors of Mindful Living, a guide to the everyday magic of feng shui. We teach feng shui online at mindfuldesignschool.com. Sign up for our mailing list for special free content, workshops, and events available only for our newsletter subscribers. So this week, we thought we would talk about our favorite feng shui colors. So a lot of the content of today's podcast actually comes from our upcoming book, Mindful Living. And, you know, Laura's written a book and I wrote two books and, you know, we didn't get into color too much in our books. So we made sure in Mindful Living to really dive into color because we know a lot of you respond really well to any of the content we put out about colors. So here's an episode about color. And actually next week's episode is also going to be about color. And I think we had a lot of fun with this stuff because we didn't just talk about red, but we got into some more interesting colors. So Laura really took the lead on that part of the book. So I'm going to let Laura share first about colors.
Yeah, so we haven't actually done an episode on color in a long time. And we felt that it is a very popular subject for our listeners, for our Instagram followers. People are really interested in color and it resonates with so many people because color is really personal, which is another reason why the way we approached this in the book, and you're going to get a little sample of that when we talk about a few of the colors from that. When we approached this, we took that into account. There is the feng shui of color. There are color systems in feng shui. There are ways of using color. There are ways of looking at color. But really, each of us experience color differently, right? So we have to think about, okay, so if we are going to talk about different colors, how can we talk about them? What can we call them? And so we really took into consideration the fact that it's a really nuanced subject that, you know, when we say, for instance, you know, fuchsia as a color, one person might have something completely different in their mind's eye compared to the person next to them, you know, cultural background, the way you're looking at it, you know, light source, your experiences with these colors over time, the idea of the word, how that word resonates with you, like the name itself. So what we tried to do is we actually came up with color stories that we created and their names for the colors that are very tied to nature, because at the end of the day, nature is our number one source for how we feel and how we connect with color. And we thought that, you know, we'll talk a little bit next week about different ways that you can use color in your home, you know, using a very particular color system within feng shui. But this one we thought, okay, let's explore, let's come up with a list of colors that both connect with the idea of the feng shui, but also with so many other things, especially nature. So we ended up with a list of color stories and how these colors affect us energetically. So it's our hope that you will also be able to look at color a little bit differently, right? And really see that color itself has this chi, has a life force. You know, the color can offer this, you know, power, this strength that can spark creativity. It has the potential to do so many things in our homes, you know, the way we wear it or how we use it in our spaces. So the theme of our book, obviously, is there's a lot of underlying theme of not only feng shui, but the idea of magic, right? Like these magical qualities of things, and color has that as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few of our favorites. So Angie and I are each going to pick a couple. I don't know. We'll go through five colors, let's say. And I will make Angie start. Angie, why don't you start and pick one of the colors that we did, the color stories. What are your favorite color stories?
Sure. So one of my favorite color stories was the celestial blue. So celestial blue is one of my favorite colors that we included in our color stories from our book, Mindful Living. And it's under the section greens and blues. And just in general, greens and blues are related to the wood element. And be sure to tune into next week's episode where we talk about each of the five elements. But in this case, celestial blue is a deeper blue and it's connected to spirituality. And it even kind of connotes that with its name, celestial, right? So it's connected to the heavens, it's connected to something beyond earth. And medieval and Renaissance painters used lapis lazuli. So if you're into crystals, that's a really popular crystal. It's a really deep blue. So similarly, celestial blue is this intense, vivid, deep blue. And historically, it's also been called lapis lazuli or ultramarine. And originally, it was made with lapis lazuli. So it was quite expensive. And sometimes it was used to depict very spiritual subject matter, like the Virgin Mary's robes or the medicine Buddha, who always has blue skin. So this natural pigment also relates to the oceans as well, which this dark blue, which has this nice balance with the celestial part. And I really love that it was originally something that came from lapis lazuli, which is one of my favorite crystals in general as well. And I think, you know, Laura gets into this in the parts of mindful living, but a lot of, you know, the pigments that we have come from natural sources. And originally there were natural pigments. A lot of them are synthetic now, but there's a lot to say about where things come from. So anyway, celestial blue is something that also represents the heavens or spirituality. So from a feng shui perspective, it's a very healing blue, like the medicine Buddha, and it can facilitate meditation and your spiritual journey. It's also connected on the feng shui mandala, the feng shui bagua. It's connected to the section of the mandala that is sometimes called knowledge or self-cultivation or spirituality. And in Chinese, that name is gun.
Yeah, a lot of these colors, like Angie was saying, were inspired by natural pigments because that is, you know, where they originally came from. And the my fave is vermilion. And vermilion is, depending on where you read it, it's now known as that kind of really vibrant red with just a touch of orange. And it is, as a pigment, it's ground cinnabar. And if you actually look at some of these pigments, I had the good fortune of being able to go to an art store in Florence, Italy, where they actually have the same compound, the same formulation that they make pigments that they did in the 1300s. And these pigments are still to this day made by these same stones. If you want to get them that way, you can, and it's very cool. So one of those is vermilion, but it's also called Chinese cinnabar. And it was that back when Giotto was using it in the 1300s and these Italian painters, that's how it was known. And it is this fiery, energizing red. And in feng shui, this bright, vibrant red, and there are many different reds in the book. We actually go into a couple of, there's not just one red, there are many reds. This one, because it comes from that cinnabar, has the, you know, connection, even deeper connection with the idea of protection. So in feng shui, red across the board is a super color. It is an uber color. It is the color that supersedes all other colors. It's incredibly auspicious. It can protect. It can, you know, energize. It represents the fire element. It has a power that other colors don't have, and you only need to use a very small amount of it. So some of the other reds might go into that, you know, deeper red, sort of the color of blood, that life force. And this is the connection that you get, right? So if you intentionally use this vermilion red, this cinnabar red, it is said that you can change your luck. And in BTB feng shui, which is the school that Angie and I teach and practice, cinnabar and that color of red is used in many different techniques or iterations. The idea of just placing something that has that color in it in a space can shift the chi really quickly if that is your intention. So Vermilion is one of my faves, and that's my number one pick. Angie, what's your next pick?
So my next pick is cream. So this is under the section of neutrals in our book, Mindful Living. And in neutrals, we talk about white. So a sneak peek, we talk about zinc white, we talk about cream, black onyx, and charcoal. And for cream, it's type of white. And white generally symbolizes pure yang energy. And the one thing I love about cream is that it's also a warmer tone. So there's so many tones of white, and I love white and off-whites. And you can explore not just cool whites or stark whites, but also these warmer tones like even beige and tan or latte or other more sandy, earthy colors that add warmth. And it still gives you a beautiful backdrop. And that's one of the reasons why I do like white and cream, is that it offers a neutral backdrop that can complement and kind of be like a palette for all the other colors that you want to bring in. Because for me, in my life, I go through phases where I like different colors. And so white has always been some white and black, actually, those neutrals have always been able to complement the colors that change with my experience from time to time. So cream also includes warm or chalky whites, and it's basically a white with a little bit of yellow or pink undertone. And minerals such as chalk and limestone were originally, or still are, the base of these off-white pigments, and they create warmer whites, but they still offer the cooling chi and a little bit of that earth with the warmth, right? That makes it creams, from making it different from a stark white. So from a feng shui perspective, these creamy neutrals, like cream or like a warm white, enable spaciousness, precision, and productivity. They call in the metal element with a little bit of earth that supports it.
So my next color is yellow ochre. And the reason that this is resonating with me right now is I actually am painting a lot with, and it's one of the colors when you paint, and depending on your subject, you kind of get into these subjects, you end up kind of using the same colors. You end up looking at your palette, or even as an artist, your palette ends up being, sort of similar colors. And this is one that I always use as a wash before I'm moving on to, more details. Because a lot of what I'm working with is the landscape or the land or buildings, really old buildings made of old stone. And that yellow ochre is that deep ferrous yellow, right? It's again, yellow ochre is a natural pigment that's found in artwork that dates back to prehistoric times. I mean, on the walls of cave paintings, there is yellow ochre and red ochre, and they're different colors. And that kind of orangey yellow color that's really earthy is from that iron-rich soil, right? It's filtered and it's dried and it produces this pigment. And in feng shui, it's perfect. I mean, a lot of these are from the earth, but this especially really, not only is it the color of earth chi or the earth element, which is yellow. The idea is that it's you're actually, if you're using it in paint, you're actually using earth, right? So it's this really deep connection to bringing in that earthy chi into your space if you use this color. And that means you've got these really grounding qualities, the stability, and a warmth as well, because there are lots of yellows. Yellow is the traditional color of the earth element. And there's a range, as with all colors, there's lots of different variations, but yellow ochre does have that. It's almost like it has a little bit of that touch of fieriness to it, right? Because it's like a warmer yellow, an earthy yellow. And so if you are looking to create that warm, nurturing, stable energy in your home, bringing that color in is a really simple way to do it. And again, it depends on your love of color or your curiosity or your, I guess, bravery with color, how much you want to use. This is depending on what you do. You can, paint walls if you wanted to, but you don't have to do that. You can do it in really small ways as well. Bringing in objects that are made, from that or that have that kind of earthy quality to it in that yellow ochre And placing that sort of in the center of the home or a center of a room is a really simple way to connect with that stable energy, that grounding, nurturing energy.
So we did say five. So Laura, why don't you do the last one, but I'll pick it and you talk about it. What about umber?
Okay. Umber. Okay. Yeah. So umber is, again, talking about earth, but it's really, really dark. Again, it's a paint, and there's red umber, there's burnt umber. And so we're just talking about general umber. And that's, you know, in paint pigments as well. It's has to do with the soil because it is this dark, dark, dark brown color. It's like fertile soil. It's like the soil after it's been tilled, right? And again, that's that earthy quality, but it's an interesting, because it's almost a little bit of a nuance on earth. It's that fertile soil that is receptive. And I love that. And again, raw umber or umber is a natural pigment. And when it's heated up to high heats, that's where you get those redder shades and variations. So it's this range of browns. But think of it as being this deep, dark, rich brown that, you know, you kind of have to watch how much you use of it. It can be dramatic in its own way, but it can also make you feel maybe just a little bit stuck. It's a bit dark. It was a favorite of Renaissance and Baroque artists. I mean, if you think of a Rubens, right, or a Rembrandt, especially the Rembrandts, that dark kind of dark, dark colors in it. And it actually translates, you know, umber is translation of shadowed earth, which is from Italian. So it has this connection to earth. And we thought, when I was writing these and when Angie and I were going through these words and these pigments, there's a reason we picked them, because it immediately makes you think of the energy around it, right? So it's stabilizing, it's solid, it's deep, it's rich. It's this fertile soil that allows you to plant seeds so that you can do something, you know, move forward. So again, I love umber too. I love all the, I love color in general, but I love that one too. So good choice, Angie.
Yeah, actually, I thought we should do one more to round it out.
So you're doing, we're doing one more. Wait, how many are we done? Wait, that's four,
this
right?
This will be six, yeah.
This is six?
And this will be the sixth one. So okay. The last one is violet. So violet is actually in the section of our Mindful Living book, which is connected to umber. So we have a section called purples and browns. And so purple, or violet specifically, violet refers to a bright and velvety purple. And in feng shui, violet and royal purple are connected to wealth and abundance. So if you are familiar with the feng shui mandala, the wealth corner or the wealth area of the Bagua mandala is the color purple. So, you know, rich purples conjure associations with nobility and splendor. And this is not just in feng shui, right? And this comes from the fact that historically, natural violet pigments were prized for their purity and rarity, and they were quite expensive, so accessible only to the wealthy. And later on, people were able to create synthetic versions. But for a while, I was reading a book that talked about how some purples you can only get from some kind of mollusk or shellfish. And so again, these natural pigments were created from nature, and sometimes we're quite rare. And also violet or purples remind us of like different crystals that are found from the earth too. So for instance, that's another way to bring in these colors, or to bring in your own feng shui color story, is maybe there's a crystal that you're attracted to of a certain color, or you bring in the color with the crystal or with artwork. In our book, in the violet section, there's like these really beautiful throw pillows with actually a violet kind of flower motif. Or you can obviously paint your walls, or you can bring in different accessories or wear purple. So there's so many wonderful ways that you can bring in your own feng shui color stories. So anyway, we hope you enjoyed learning some of our colors that we talk about in our book. So we went over celestial blue, vermilion, cream, yellow ochre, umber, and violet. And we hope that you'll start to explore your own favorite feng shui colors. And be sure to tune in next week, where we talk about the five element colors. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Holistic Spaces podcast. You can tune in every Monday for a new episode. And if you like our podcast, please share it, subscribe, leave a review. You can always support us by joining our mailing list and checking out our offerings. We have a certification that we teach every year, a feng shui certification course, and we offer mini courses here and there. If you'd like to explore the world of holistic spaces and feng shui on an even deeper level, visit our website. You can learn more about the Bagua. If you look at our show notes, we'll have a link to the Bagua e-kit. And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.